especially in the Western world culture that we live in. We need to accept this challenge. Here's the thing. Receiving from the Lord is really about our choice. It really is our choice to receive from the Lord. By the way, again, I'm not bashing Martha, okay? She did open up her home to him, and she was being hospitable, but the problem was where she put her priorities. And even in how she put that off on Mary, remember? That she was the one that was making the wrong decisions. We all can relate. How many know? We can all relate to Mary and Martha.
Amen.
When we look at everyday life, we can look at Mary and Martha in our situations. But Mary was listening to the Word of God. Now that word listening is not meaning she just heard somebody preaching. But she was listening. That means the eyes and ears of her heart were open to understand. How many know? Truth is powerful and it sets you free, but not if you don't really listen to it. Not if you really don't know how to apply it. I mean, you can even quote something and not really be hearing it. Because if you're hearing it, faith is going to come. And that's what we need to understand. Because here's the thing. What enters into our eyes and our ears many times is impacting us a lot more than we would even choose to believe that it does. And it's a real issue. Because we live in a sight and sound generation, do we not? Can you imagine if you could just somehow maybe go back 100 years and just fast forward to this generation? I mean, we would all be like this, probably like this. We would all be ADD, right? Because of all we're being bombarded with, the images and all the things. They say most people wouldn't even be able to handle getting in an automobile and moving at that rate of speed. Because nobody's ever used to that. The fastest you could go was on a horse, right? And now everything is just so different. Here's the problem. When we don't think, the way the spirit of the world infiltrates our hearts is through these things, through our eye gates and our ear gates.
Yep.
You might be saying, what does this have to do with Mary and Martha? Stay tuned. But I needed to say this today because the devil deceives many and he convinces them that a steady diet of these things is harmless. I'm saved. I'm born again. Well, I'm glad for that. But here's the problem. I've heard people say, well, you know, looking at porn won't do me any harm. Or feeding upon violence all the time. That won't hurt me either. Or how about this? Listening to lyrics and looking at images that are so unrighteous and unholy, and we don't think that's going to affect our sanctification? It will. It'll impact us greatly. And all the while along, what the enemy's doing in his deception, he's planting seeds. He's planting seeds. Hello? How many of you ever had something that you wish you had not looked at or seen or heard, and then it just comes up out of nowhere, it seems like?
Yeah.
Hello? Maybe in a dream or in your imagination or whatever, and you're like, well, what in the world? But I tell you, the enemy sowed that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the fruit of it is trying to spring up. And that's why we have to understand it's called corruption. Everybody say corruption. Now Jesus warns us to be careful what we're listening to. Look what it says here in Mark 4:23. Do we have scriptures on the screen today?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. If anyone has ears to hear, let him what? Hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you're listening to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. Now, what's he saying? Your standard of measure, in other words, what you're listening to is going to produce a harvest, right? Always look at it as seed. It will produce a harvest. That's a principle that we cannot get away from. So he said we need to take care. How many of you know this works for good or for evil? Right? I mean, the time we spend today, this time we spend in worship and in the Word, and the time you spend in your devotional time with the Lord is very good because you're sowing good seeds, right, into your spiritual life. But we need to understand if we don't take care of what we're listening to, if we don't guard our hearts, what we'll find out is we'll struggle to hear God even in worship and prayer. We'll be struggling to hear God and to listen to God. We'll struggle to hear His voice. Many people struggle even in a church service or watching something. And it's because of this battle that's going on. It's the battle of the mind, right? And that's really where the weapons of God's warfare are, to tear down some things, some strongholds in the way we think and the way we look. Now, here's what I want to share with you. The good news of this is this. The Lord gives us the grace, I believe, to focus on the Lord. But you have to admit you've got a weakness, because grace works through weakness. Grace works for our inability. It's God's power.
Yeah.
As long as I think, well, I can do this. I can keep my heart clean. Well, if that was the case, I didn't need to get saved.
Right.
If I could get my heart clean and keep it clean, I just would straighten myself up.
Yeah.
Right? How many ever tried that? It didn't work very well, did it? Maybe 30 minutes, yeah. You know, maybe that's a stretch right there. And but here's the thing, double-mindedness. Everybody say double-mindedness. How many know that's a real problem? Because it clearly says in the Word of God, a double-minded man cannot expect to receive anything from God because he's unstable in all of his ways. I mean, if you're thinking two different ways, you are unstable. We call it you're waffling a lot, right? The ground beneath you is not solid rock. And God wants us to really move into something else. Think about this. Mary and Martha are in the same house, correct? They're in the same situation, and Jesus has come to the house. Good place to be. Would you agree? Would we all agree? Now, what was bringing blessing and edification to Mary was bringing complications to Martha. Same house, same Jesus. Right? See, a lot of people want to blame their pastor and blame their church and blame this and blame that about why they're not getting anything out of anything. But I'll tell you, a lot of times, it's all about how we approach it. Hello? Martha is distracted by her preparations, Jesus said. But how many of you know, let's be honest, that was her way of serving the Lord. Yeah. Is there anything wrong with serving the Lord and being hospitable? No, not at all. Somebody needed to do that, I guess. Here's the problem, but let me say this. Martha picked this battle. Jesus didn't say, hey Martha, get over here. Let the dishes lie. Just come on over here and sit down at my feet. He didn't do it. She picked the fight because remember she said, Lord, tell Mary to help me. In other words, what Mary's doing is not important. Y'all see that? You see the fine line between what that is. And again, I don't know that Jesus was going to speak into it until Martha brought it to his attention. And it was a good teaching moment, and we can still learn from it today. So she obviously felt like what she was doing was of more importance than what Mary was doing. But how many know this is sad when we allow this to happen? Because let's move outside of an event. Let's move outside of even a church gathering. And how many of you know we could say something like this, I know I need to pray, but, right? Yeah. I've got to take care of this.
Right?
Right? I mean, we've all done that. I know I need to get into the Word, right? I need to get into the Word of God, but I've got these things that are pressing on me. I know I need to get my family to church to worship, but there's something else I need to do. And so these are always the things that we struggle with. And again, I believe in this generation, like never before, it's one of the biggest things we deal with. Martha's serving, get this, her serving was distracting her from the most important thing in the room.
Jesus!
Yeah. Amen? Yeah. From Jesus himself. Yeah. Our time, please hear this. Our time being with him is more important than our time working for him. And not about you, but I'm a driven guy. Susan and I always have something to do, especially my wife. There's always something to do. But we got to be careful because I know I'm looking at all of you out there, and I know a lot of you are just like us. But I'm just saying, it's not about that. It's about what is the importance. And here's the thing. Love and acceptance is not measured out to us according to our performance. Aren't you glad? It's measured out to us according to his mercy and grace to the yielded and humble heart. Because a lot of times, God's loving like crazy, but nobody will receive it. They're too busy even to receive his love.
Yes.
Can you imagine what Mary was getting at his feet and what Martha was not getting? Hence, her attitude, so to speak, that came through. And again, I'm not bashing Martha because I've been just like her in situations, as some of you have too. I said some of you, maybe not all of you. But no matter how crazy busy our lives have become, we've got to learn to take the time.
Amen.
To sit and be still.
Yeah.
And to dwell in his presence. What did Jesus say? Go into your inner room and what? Close the door and pray to your Father in secret. What was he saying? Get into a place where there are no distractions. Amen? You got to find a place where there's no... You got to eliminate the distractions so that you can get from me what I want to give to you. You know, I believe he's wanting our undivided attention.
Yeah.
Have you ever been having a conversation with somebody and you can tell they're not really giving you their undivided attention?
Yeah.
I mean, I promise you, if they're doing this, they're not giving you their undivided attention, right? I mean, there's a lot of different things we can look at in that. And I'm convinced it's something. I'm not saying this is some kind of a medical doctor. Everybody knows I'm not a doctor. But I believe some of the issues in our culture today, we are so bombarded with information and images and things to do and options. I believe it's one of the problems with ADD. Yeah. We're just all over the place. Our soul doesn't know how to do anything with it. Yeah, it's sensory overload. Exactly. Exactly. Can I use that in my message? We can and should enjoy spending time with the Lord. And can I say to you today, I say this respectfully, if you've never enjoyed the presence of the Lord, then start doing it. Start enjoying it. Because I'm telling you, we should enjoy the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His presence is filled with what? Love. Somebody tell me some things His presence. Joy. Amen. Peace. Healing. Breakthrough. His Word. We need to know that. Need to learn to know Him. I was given at Christmas a devotional book by Dutch Sheets. And he tells a little story in this book. It's a good little book about just getting in the presence of God. And I kept trying to remember where I read this story, and I finally found it yesterday. But he tells a story in the book of a young man named Tommy. Let me just tell you, it's not a long story. But he was the unexpected bonus child for this couple. You know what I'm saying? They weren't really planning on having any more kids, and whoa, I'm pregnant. Here's Tommy. It's one of those things, you know. But he ended up being a total surprise, but also a total delight. A great kid, filled with love. His spontaneity and his expressions of love brought delight to the whole family. They never regretted having Tommy. Shortly after he turned 5, Tommy asked his mother, "How old were you when I was born?" I imagine Mama was thinking, "Why do you ask, boy?" Anyway, but upon learning that she was 36, which to me, it's not that bad. Come on. He exclaimed, "What a shame." And his mother was a little puzzled, and she asked him what he meant by that. And he replied, "Just think of all the years we didn't know each other." I did the same thing. I almost started crying. But you know where my heart went? What about all the years I didn't spend in the Lord's presence? All the days I was too busy to be with God. Are y'all with me? How about the years we didn't spend with our loved ones? Some of them, we've seen our loved ones pass away, and we look back and we go, the time we didn't spend with our spouse and our children and what on. Come on. Yep, yep. But especially today, we're talking about our time with the Lord. But I want to encourage you, because I did the same thing. I read that story and I just kind of put the book down. I had big tears in my eyes. And you know what the Lord reminded me? He reminded me. He said, you cannot live your life in regret. And He said this in Joel 2:25. He says, the Lord will redeem, meaning He will make up to us for the years that the locusts have stolen and eaten away. Amen. And you've got to live like that. You've got to understand, God wants to redeem the year. So I encourage you, don't be sad over what I just shared, and don't be regretful. What did Paul say? Forgetting what lies behind, I press forward. I reach forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, let's draw near and let's redeem the time. Let's redeem the years that remain for each of us. Some of us have more years than others, but I want to redeem them for His glory. Are y'all with me? But I've got to have a merry heart. I can't be a Martha guy. Amen? Somebody, anybody else just tuning into this message wondering what in the world I'm talking about? But anyway, but I want to encourage you. Don't get sad from this, but do be challenged about the fact that God wants us to move forward. So I encourage you with that. But again, Mary chose the good part. Everybody say the good part. It was a decision, and it really is. As I shared with you last week, it's about returning to your first love, where the love for God is your priority. It's first place in your life. Interestingly, Jesus told Martha, He said, only one thing is necessary. Now we know that doesn't mean that it's the only thing you never need to do. We're all just going to sit around down here every day and just sit in His presence. And never do anything else. But what He's saying when He said this is a necessary thing, He's saying, if you don't get this right, nothing else works right. I mean, I wish we believed that. Because if we believed that, then we would do that. If we would realize that time out of His presence is not an option for me to X off my calendar. Amen? And the time I dwell with Him is going to make a lot of other things work better in my life. Hallelujah. I have found that as a minister especially, how true that is. Because I can put a lot of hard work into my messages and my teachings and the things that God's called me to do. But even in doing those kind of things of ministry, I have to be very, very careful, because it can't be all about the task.
That's right.
It has to be about the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody okay?
Yes.
We've got to learn how to wait expectantly upon the Lord. Even to sit and listen, for some of us, let's be honest, that's not easy. Even in prayer and worship, it can be difficult because our minds are racing a million miles an hour down the road, right? We're thinking about what we got to get done to hear, what I'm going to do tonight and whatever. But prayer, think about this. Prayer is to be conversation with the Lord.
That's right.
And that's something I had to learn the hard way. Because I used to talk a lot and pray a lot of powerful things straight out of the Word of God. Boy, I was telling God everything He needed to do. But the problem is I never shut up long enough for Him to speak to me. I know y'all would be hard pressed to believe that. But I was talking to a brother the other day that I so had something I wanted to share with him. And don't let your mind go there. I'm not going to tell you who it was. Just forget it. I talk to guys every week, friends of mine, some in Tennessee and back, you know. But we were talking, and I had something I wanted to tell him, but he would not be quiet. He wouldn't even take a breath where I could get in there. You know what I mean? And finally, when it got done, I said, yeah, there's something I was wanting to tell you, but I've absolutely forgotten what it was. Thank God. God doesn't forget what He wants to tell us. Amen? Think about, though, the conversation, not rushing onto something. A lot of times, we'll pray all our things, and we should. We should make our decrees and do all those things, but then we kind of say amen and goodbye, out the door.
Right.
And God's kind of like going,
yeah,
wanting to speak to us. Amen? Prayer, as in having communion with God, is really not complicated if we're not distracted. I mean, it's hard if you're distracted because you know you need to pray and then it becomes a task. Y'all okay? And so we have to learn, okay, I've got to get rid of the distraction and allow God to commune with me and me with God. Paul actually spoke to this because I believe what Paul was deriving from is that he knew the real problem, even in the beginning in the garden, when the serpent deceived Eve, is she was distracted from what the Word of God had really said, and that's how she got off track. He speaks to that. Look at it. Did I give you 2 Corinthians? I don't remember if I gave you this one. 2 Corinthians 11. Look there at verse 3 with me. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, how many know he's a crafty fella? Amen? Your minds will be led astray. Now look what he says. From the what? The simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. It's not hard, guys. A little kid can have a simple devotion to Christ. Amen?
Yep.
It's not difficult. And we need to remember that. Sometimes it's just the simplicity and purity of our devotion to the Lord. Mary chose the good part, to sit and listen to His Word. She probably knew full well how Martha was going to respond too. But we too must learn how to wait and be still and know. We must choose to abide. Remember I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about Joshua, how after Moses left the tent, Joshua lingered a little longer. Joshua stayed in the tent and after even Moses had left the tent. Here's the thing. True worship is in spirit and in truth. And what I found, if I'm really going to sense and believe that my worship has gone in the spirit, I've got to give God my undivided attention. Hello?
Yeah.
I can't be worried about the batteries in the mic or the thermostat or, you know, if anybody showed up after I turned around.
Yeah.
I just try to think of things, you know, what all the things we've got to do this afternoon, even on Sunday. But I'm telling you, it's the undivided attention is the secret. Because what I find, if I don't give God my undivided attention, then I'm in and out of the flesh and the spirit.
Yeah.
You ever felt that way? Just kind of in and out.
Yeah.
And not the hamburger joint. Some of you went there already, but I'm more than talking about the hamburger joint. It's how we abide and dwell in His presence. And can I be honest with you? When you first start to do it, I mean deliberately do it, make as a decision and as a choice, it's tough at first.
Yeah.
It's tough to just be alone and be quiet and wait upon the Lord. Amen? Jesus talked about abiding. And He said, if we don't learn how to do it, we're never going to be fruitful. Because by not abiding, we're not connected to where the life source is. Let's look at it. John 15:4. John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Now underline this part. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How many of you know that's true? If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so what? Prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so I can lay a heavy burden on you. Is that what he says? What does he say? These things I've spoken to you so that my joy, get this, the joy of the Lord may be in you and that your joy may be made full. That literally means to overflowing. Would anybody like some overflowing joy of the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. By abiding in the Word of God, the Lord abides in us. By abiding in His presence, His love abides in us. And in His presence is the fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And boy, don't we need that, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we choose to consistently abide in the Lord, a humble heart of worship toward Him will develop. Now I want to explain this to you by looking at another Mary Martha story. But we're not going to turn there. I'm just going to share with you from it. But it's the passage in Luke 11 where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Everybody familiar with that? Same Mary and Martha, okay? Let me set it up for you. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick and near death. Lazarus, whom you love. Jesus sent word back, you remember, to Mary and Martha and said, this sickness shall not end in death, but be for the glory of God, right? Yeah. Well, 4 days later, Jesus shows up and Lazarus has been dead for 4 days in a tomb. How many know that didn't go quite the way we thought the word that was sent would go? Amen? And Martha went out to meet Jesus. And the first thing she said was, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Would y'all agree that's true? That is true, what she said. That wasn't an untruth. But then she said, even now, get this. She goes, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And you know what Jesus said? Your brother will rise again.
That's right.
Now I don't think Martha really believed what she said, that anything you ask of God will give you. Because Jesus is talking about getting ready to raise this guy. And Martha begins to talk about the resurrection like in the life to come. Kind of bantering back and forth. She's actually quite confronted with the Lord. It always made me uncomfortable. I was like, Martha, chill. This is Jesus. You know? And then finally, he kind of like cleared his throat and said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. I mean, resurrection and life is standing in front of you. Now, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him. Are you ready for this? She fell at his feet in worship. Always remember to bow down and fall. That was always worship. She fell at his feet to worship him. And she said to him, get this, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Said the same thing Martha said. But her posture was different. Even though she had the same disappointment, she had the same confusion, she chose to humble herself before Jesus. Y'all see the difference? Her posture was different. That's why I was saying a life of dwelling with God and taking the time to be with God and to know God in this way actually will direct our heart to be more of a worship-centered heart than a performance-centered heart. Okay? Remember, this is the same Mary who, when Jesus had been invited over by the Pharisee, broke into that dinner meeting, broke open an alabaster box of perfume and anointing, and anointed Jesus, and her tears were falling on his feet, wiping her hair. I mean, a total extravagant display of worship. This is the Mary that also bowed to his feet here. Okay, don't forget that. I'm not saying that Martha didn't love Jesus. How dare me to say that? I'm not judging Martha's heart. I believe she did love Jesus. And I think she wanted to honor him and do the best in her home. Would you agree,
yeah,
ladies?
Yes.
But she didn't carry the awe and the reverence for him. And a lot of people don't. He's looking for worship. It's even a higher level than just saying, I love the Lord. It's an awe and a reverence for the presence of God. It was the heart of worship that Mary had. And that was the difference. And I believe, here's the thing. When you don't have that worshiping heart, disappointment makes it harder and harder for you to believe the Word. It makes it harder and harder for you to believe, even if it's printed right there in front of your eyes. It makes it harder to believe, especially a word like, Lazarus is getting ready to raise up. I'm getting ready to raise him up. And so that made it hard. I believe Mary's response was different because Mary chose. Notice I keep emphasizing, all the passages say she chose this. She chose the good part. Choosing to sit and listen to his word. You know, when that Pharisee had invited Jesus into his home, he invited Jesus to recline at the table and eat. Would you say he was being hospitable to Jesus? Of course. He probably had an ulterior motive as a Pharisee. I'm sure he was wanting to get into a little argument. Maybe not. I don't know. But Mary was not invited to this gathering. Believe me. Mary with the reputation. But Mary comes in uninvited and, you know, her extravagant worship takes place. But she is celebrated in the Scripture wherever the gospel is preached for having a heart of extravagant worship and, get this, an attentiveness to Jesus. Not just to the busyness of life, but to Jesus. Amen? Amen? Martha approached the Lord, frankly, more confrontationally, with great skepticism, even though she assured Jesus she had faith that anything he asked the Father, he would do. But even after all of this, I don't know, I would have been intimidated by Mary's response, wouldn't you? I've been like, I probably should have done that. You know? Maybe I should have humbled myself. But they're standing outside of Lazarus' tomb, and Jesus said, "Remove the stone, roll it away." And Martha protests again. "Lord?" Yeah, he stinketh. I love that. The old King James. But he's been dead 4 days. If he wasn't going to walk out of there, it was going to stink. Would you agree with me? Amen. But can I tell you this? Jesus in his mercy, are you glad he's merciful? Still gave her an opportunity to believe. Don't you love it? He said, "Did I not say to you," maybe like a good Jewish mama would do, "did I not say to you, if you will only believe, you will see the glory of God." I love that story, and it challenges my faith, because God will always give you a chance to believe again.
Yes.
I mean, you and I would have run out of our patience with Martha after the first response, probably. Mm-hmm. "Well, if you're going to be like that, just get away from me. Yeah. Where's Mary?
Yeah.
Where's my worshiper?" But he gave her that opportunity, and that's just the grace and passion of God for our heart. Amen? So Mary approaches him differently. Though initially they both said the same thing. "Lord?" The Bible records it exactly, that they said exactly the same thing. And again, the only difference is the posture of one versus the other. Would you agree with me? Mary was dealing with disappointment too?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, she had actually been with her friends, and they've been praying and crying and weeping, and Jesus shows up and she runs to Jesus and falls at his feet. So, I mean, it wasn't like she was handling it any better than Martha in that regard. But she dealt with it differently. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you might feel like, "Well, I don't always have a worshiping response like I need to." Well, I don't either. But I want to get to where I do. Anybody with me? I want to get to where I always have a worshiping response. Because I always find when I don't have a worshiping response, I will always have a fleshly reaction. And I'll embarrass myself and I have to apologize to somebody. I know none of you are ready to do that, but you know, your pastor does. Mary's choices for intimacy and to hear the word and to worship were molding her heart in a really special way. That's what I want you to see. It was molding her heart. And we need this because, guys, there really is a peace that surpasses all understanding. All of us have been in situations, and maybe now we're in a situation where I don't know what God's doing, but I've just got to trust that He's going to work it for my good, right?
Yes.
Whatever it may be, we've all been there. The thing that kept drawing to me this week, and I was praying about this, I said, "Lord, what do you want me to share?" And I was reminded the psalmist would speak of this. He would speak of the dwelling places of the Lord. Dwelling places. And obviously to abide with the Lord. And there's several psalms. We used to sing some that had that in there. You know, "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord." And I thought, what are these dwelling places? But again, in the same way, our choices are determining our level of love and devotion to the Lord. We cannot wait to feel like loving and worshiping God. You can't wait to feel it. You do it because it's a choice to do it. And I know I've told you this many, many times, but 500 plus people saw Jesus resurrected, walking around in Jerusalem with holes in his hands.
Yeah.
The real deal, the guy, right? A resurrected man who said, "Wait to receive the Holy Spirit." But only 120 of that 500 plus actually made the choice to go be and wait. And that's those times. They were waiting. He didn't say, "Cause Pentecost is going to be really cool." He didn't say that. Because if he had said that, everybody would have been there at Pentecost. But they were going to wait. It ended up being about 10 more days. And they're waiting before the Lord in His presence. And of course, the Holy Spirit's poured out. There's such a blessing to those who will wait. Oh, they that what? Wait upon the Lord. Amen. The remnant must repent and return in this hour. We need to repent as a church, but we also need to repent individually. And start to choose that I'm going to give the Lord my undivided attention. Especially in the dwelling place. Now, one last thing about the original text we started with. Jesus said this, Mary has chosen the good part. The good part. That which what? Cannot be taken away from her. Now think about that. So it's something eternal. Very important. The spiritual things of the kingdom of God are eternal. How many of you know this word's eternal? Amen? Same promises apply to me as they applied to the early church. And so we start to understand this. We start to know that. But let me. Even if you've been born again, how many of you know the level you're going to grow and mature and the kind of life you live is still going to be determined by your choices?
That's right. Amen?
Because you're born again, all right, of what? An imperishable seed, which is the Word of God. So that is in the bank. You're born again. Yeah. You're a child of God. You're saved. Are y'all with me? But see, the fruitfulness of your life and the closeness to God is going to be determined by our choices and what we sow our life into. Many Christians, I believe, who are genuinely Christians, sow the majority of their passion and everything into the wrong thing.
Right.
And it affects us eternally in the sense of what we enjoy of the eternal sustaining things. I don't know about you, but I want to not just know life, but I want to know life abundant.
Amen.
And it's going to be required of me to understand that I need to sow myself into the right places, the dwelling places. Now, Galatians 6 exhorts us about making wise choices regarding how we sow our lives into, well, like, for example, our love, our passion, our strength, our finances. The Word challenges us on all these things. What you sow into is the most important. Look at Galatians 6, 7. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will what?
Reap.
For the one who sows to what? His own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good. In other words, in choosing the good part. Don't lose heart about that. Amen? For in due time, you will reap if, and this is a big if, you don't grow weary. Amen? I think sometimes because of the time, we do grow weary. And we think, well, I'm not benefiting from this. Corruptible things, I want to say this because I think we misunderstand it. Corruptible things are not necessarily evil in and of themselves. Are y'all with me? It just means it's things that don't last. They even may bring some momentary comfort or pleasure, but they don't last. Are y'all with me? Now some, obviously a lot of corruptible things are flat out evil, but some of them are just things we do in life and they're not like going to take you away from God, but they're not lasting. Are y'all with me? There's certain things that bring us joy that we enjoy, but they're not affecting our eternity. But eternal things are forever. Think about that. And they cannot be taken away from us. So sow your heart into eternal things. That's what's important. Everybody understand that?
Amen.
I want to share with you really quickly about three dwelling places of God. I really prayed about this. I thought, Lord, what are they? And I think, number one, it's the gathering of the people, the congregation. Amen? The church, the royal priesthood. That's a dwelling place where God promises to be in the midst of us. I love what it says in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is for what? For brothers and sisters to what? Dwell together. Everybody say, dwell together. In unity. And then he says, for there, in that place, I command the blessing. Hallelujah. So it's a blessing. Do you see that? One of the dwelling places is when we gather corporately. Okay? The other dwelling place is what we've been talking about with discipleship and everything out of Malachi where they came together. It's when the disciples of the Lord have learned to be connected and committed to one another, to minister to one another. It's for the purpose of protection and accountability. It's for the purpose of being able to connect in the right place in the body of Christ. Malachi says, those who reverence the word of the Lord, they spoke to one another. And the Lord gave attention and wrote a book of remembrance and that He knows our very names. Isn't that exciting? And he said, those who esteem my word and my name, they are mine, my possession. And I believe in these types of groups, it would be like a group of disciples or a group of people that are connected. I believe that's a dwelling place of the Lord, where there's a special blessing. But anything that God gives His attention to it, that's a dwelling place of God. The third one is the secret place. The secret place. That's where each of us gets alone with God and God alone. Amen? You get alone with God and God alone. No distractions. There's no TV going on in the room. Everybody with me? You're not looking at your phone. No distractions. You're just dwelling in His presence in prayer and worship in His Word. Jesus said it in Matthew 6. He said, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who what? Sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Everybody say openly. I really want us to grab hold of that one. Because, well, I don't want to jump ahead of myself because I want to actually close with that thought. So I'll come back to it. Each of these dwelling places have a unique purpose to help us dwell, to abide in the Lord's presence. And we need to prioritize and choose to honor each of these places in our lives and never forget that they are His dwelling places. And think about this, though. You are His dwelling place.
That's right.
Amen? Christ in you and in me. So my encouragement to all of us is to stop with all the busyness and choose the good part, which means we're going to have to say no to some things and say yes to God.
Yeah.
Amen? The time we invest in the dwelling places of the Lord are blessed times in the Spirit of God. I find in my life when I'm really diligent about this, I end up actually working less and accomplishing more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because what you can accomplish in the flesh by working really hard at it, and a lot of times in ministry we tend to do that sometimes. We work really hard at things, but we accomplish more in the Spirit. And if anything, just to enjoy the pleasure of His company more. Just to be with the Lord and the work He can do inside of us and through us.
Amen.
You'll also find, what I find too, when I'm honoring the dwelling places of God and this time alone with God, I find that, I don't know how to say this, transitioning into times of worship, prayer, ministry is easier. How many of you have ever been in such a place where you knew God wanted to use you to pray with somebody, pray for somebody, do this, do that, go to church? You had to feel like you had to get all reacquainted with God again before you went. Hello? You weren't really walking in such a walk. But see, God wants to use us in a mighty way to where we could just drop our bag and pray for somebody at Home Depot,
yeah,
right? Or somebody at the office is going through it hard. I mean, that we could just go flow right into that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. You'll also find that you can enter His presence easier. What I mean by that is it's always easy because you come by the blood, right? But it means that you can get there in a way. Us worship leaders used to talk about, yeah, today was hard, but, you know, we finally got there. It was like stirring mud for the first half an hour, but we finally got into the presence of God. You know, worship leaders are known for kind of saying that, like, man, it's tough today, but, man, we finally broke through. Well, you know what? It shouldn't be that way. I'll be honest with you. I've been in services from the opening chord, the glory fell. I've been there. Where there was such an attitude, but I guarantee you, if you were to look at the people that were there, they had been with God. They were already dwelling with God. They didn't just come to just worship. They had already been worshiping God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No condemnation. But let's just return to the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. Amen. I want to clear up something about waiting. There is the waiting before the Lord with that expectancy. You're waiting for your breakthrough. You're waiting for, you know, your healing. You're waiting for that this to happen. That is a good thing. That's that confident trust and expectancy. Everybody with me? That's a good kind of waiting. But can I tell you, the kind of waiting that we need to also develop is the waiting that goes further than just getting what you're asking for. It's the waiting in His presence. It's the looking and listening from a pure heart. David said, "My soul thirsts for Thee. Like a deer pants for the water brooks, my soul longs for Thee." And so we need to understand that. Another meaning of waiting is to actually be like intertwined with the Lord. To be intertwined with Him, like a rope or like a braid, like to be braided with the Lord. Well, how many like to be so braided with the Lord that you're one with Him?
Yes.
And Jesus prayed we would have that. Amen? That we would be one with Him. But interestingly, it's from waiting, spending time with the one we want to be one with. Amen? No agenda. Even I've already finished praying my prayers. I'm just in His presence. Tell you guys, this is the word of the Lord to me, and I believe it's the word of the Lord for a lot of us. Isaiah 40 says, "They that what wait upon the Lord will gain new strength, and they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will walk and not get tired. They will run and not become weary from waiting on the Lord." And that's what we need. I mean, a lot of times when I think I need that, I think I just need a nap. You know, I actually need to go get in God's presence. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. No offense to all you Sunday afternoon nappers. I always tease with people that after lunch on Sunday, I can hear my recliner calling my name. Oh, Rick, come home to me. I miss you so much. But can I just tell you, I believe the Lord wants to restore the awe of His presence. I believe He wants to restore the great love and the great power of His glory. I just don't believe we've figured it all out, you know. And we could sing about it and shout about it, but it's something that I think God wants to just radically change us because of it. And I believe that we just have to learn to abide in His presence, in His love, in His Word, and let that joy be made full. So let's not ignore or stay away from the dwelling places of God. Again, He dwells in the congregation of His people. He dwells in the smaller connectedness of those of us who are joined together in discipleship. And He dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. David, that worshiping warrior of God, who was the man after God's own heart, he made his choice. He chose the one thing that was only necessary. Y'all know the word, one thing, one thing, one thing I have asked from the Lord, and I shall seek, what? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. All that. Now, in the covenant that David was in, you always went to the house of the Lord, right? The temple, a building. For David, you know, he had his tabernacle. But that was what he was thinking about. But the point is here, it didn't mean that I will always stay in the house of the Lord and never leave there. It just meant, but I always go to the dwelling place. Notice what he says. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What? All the days of my life. This will be my priority, is to be in the presence of the Lord. And I want to behold what? The beauty of the Lord. And I want to meditate in His temple. I want to seek His face. And I believe this is what to say. But that's the choice we have to make. And I would encourage you, you might say, well, you've never seen my schedule, Pastor Rick. You've never seen what I... But I'll tell you, every one of us could hold our schedules up and we could hold them. But we've just got to find a way to maximize that time and carve that time out for Him. Again, I believe a lot of areas where we feel like our life is just so overrun and so out of control on time and energy we have left, I believe, again, if that becomes the necessary thing in our lives, it'll make a lot of other things come in place. I believe some things that are fragmented will become joined together. Right. And we'll find ourselves being able to see actually a lot more get done in the busyness of our lives. Y'all receive that? I really believe this is where we are. Again, one thing is only really necessary. The dwelling places of God. Now, I want to pray for you, but here's the reason this really began to stir in my heart. I want to encourage you in this. Take the time to wait before Him. I mean, I still get before God. I pray. I make my decrees. I ask God for the things I'm believing for. You know, I believe in that. I take communion. I spend time with God. But that part of just being still and waiting on Him, wow, it takes you a little time to develop that. But I believe God, that's where He disclosed. I mean, if you ask God, some of the things we ask Him, it's almost like, oh Lord, show me Your glory, we're out the door. Glory's like rolling down like a freight train. All of a sudden, oh, put on the brakes, He's gone. Are y'all with me? No condemnation, but we have to realize, what are we praying for? And then that Matthew 6:6 verse again. What was Jesus saying? The Father will what? Reward you openly. And I believe this. What God is doing in us, He intends for us to release. I'll be honest with you guys. I know what it's like to run on empty. I love God. I'm doing exactly what the Word told me to do. Pray for that person. Lay hands on this person. Speak that. Right? Are y'all with me? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But if I'm empty... See, God wants you and I. Here's the mystery of the gospel. Christ in you and in me, the hope of glory. That's the mystery of the gospel. And so, but if we're never dwelling, if we're never developing that, I want to be able to release something to people when I pray for them. Are y'all with me? Even the lost that they would sit, they may not know what to call it, glory, but the glory gets released on them. Are y'all with me? But again, you can't disconnect from the secret place and think you can have that open expression if you're empty. What do you say? Freely you have received, freely give. Well, we got to receive what we're giving. And I believe that with all my heart. And what we receive and what we cultivate in secret in the dwelling place, that love and that glory. How many of you ever are troubled sometimes? You just don't sense a love for the lost or for a situation. You know you should. Anybody with me? You know you're supposed to. But I believe that love is cultivated only with He who is love. I can't just obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I mean, so the obeying God is attached to loving God. And knowing that love that surpasses just the knowledge about how I should love. Are you okay? Now, I'm not saying you can always feel everything, but I'm telling you, when people know you genuinely care and love them, they can easily receive from you. You know, that person that's just absolutely devastated by disease will let you pray for them. Because love will open a door. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
It's really important. Because what did Jesus say? When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to love the least of these. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that putting the least of these down. I want to love them with the love of God.
Yes.
The way He sees them. Because that's what Jesus actually is.
Yeah.
Is this making sense, guys?
Yes.
So I ask the Lord to bless you with that grace to focus. Amen? On Him. I ask the Lord to bless you with that. And to give you priorities. To focus on the one thing. You know, there's four things that we pray a lot in charismatic, Pentecostal, Spirit-filled circles. We all pray this a lot. We want to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Check. Right? Do we not want that?
Amen.
I mean, I want a fresh baptism with the Holy Spirit. How about to see His glory?
Amen.
Anybody want to see His glory?
Yeah.
How about to receive His power?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a lot easier to heal somebody when you got His power.
Yeah.
My power won't heal a flea.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Okay? Might kill a flea, but... But how about this? We also pray to know His great love. You know? Can I just honestly say, just start, you guys say, well, what do I do? Well, pray your prayers, worship God, sing to Him, love on Him, but just take some time to just be quiet and just dwell and just ask Him, Lord, I want to know Your glory. Amen? Lord, show me Your glory. Just, you know, pick one. You know? And just say, Lord, I want to know Your love. And I don't know about you guys, but I want His love to be so powerful in me that it exudes from me toward others. So that when I pray for them or I approach them or I minister to them, they can sense that love, that I really do care. I'm not on an agenda and I'm just looking to try to get out of here.
Yeah.
How many of you have ever been asked to pray for somebody and you weren't really into it?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Thank you, Bill.
I
mean, you're a pastor, and I'm not asking for sympathy when I say this. When you're a pastor, you get late night phone calls, and you know, and you're like, kind of like, you get that text that says, Pastor, could you and Susan call? I need to pray with me. And I'm like, yeah, I think I've got an opening on Tuesday. No. You go then. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
And you respond. But I tell you, it's the love of God. And what I find is in our busyness and all that we want to do and just the stress of life and everything that's going on, the main thing's not been the main thing a lot of times. And we're empty.
Yeah.
To be honest, we're empty. It doesn't mean you don't have Jesus. It doesn't mean that God's not in you. It just means that we haven't been dwelling there. It hasn't permeated our being to the degree that we can release it in power. Because I believe with all my heart, if this little church right here alone, just if we all begin to just deliberately choose that I'm going to dwell in His presence, I'm going to soak in His glory and in His love every day of my life, I'm going to carve this time out for God. I'm going to prioritize our gatherings together and our prayer together and all of that. I believe it'll so impact us that even what we would consider doing the work of evangelism would actually become quite easy.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I can't save anybody.
Right.
I can't convince a prodigal it's okay to come home to Jesus. I can't. He's got to feel something that's not of Rick.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Right.
He's not impressed with my preaching or he'd be here.
Right.
Like you guys. He's not impressed with my music. He's not impressed. You know, y'all with me? There's something that draws people. It's supernatural. In Isaiah, when it said, the glory of the Lord will shine on you, though darkness covers the earth. When you finish reading, it says, even the kings of the earth will be drawn to your brightness. Well, I don't get any brighter on my own. I'm as bright as I can get. Some of you don't think I'm very bright at all. But there's a brightness of God. And guys, we can't get that without dwelling.
That's right.
It's a lovely place to dwell. Do y'all receive this?
Yes.
Everybody home, do you receive? Nod at me.
Yeah.
Let's dwell with God. Amen. And just, I just want to encourage you just to take the restraints off of what you think it means. I can't tell you. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
I told you the story about, and I do know I've rambled, but it's okay because you have such great love for me. I shared with you about years ago, I saw that verse about know the love of God experientially. And I said, I don't know that I know God's love that way. I know He loves me because I got all the scriptures that tell me He loves me, but anybody with me?
Yeah.
Remember I told you, I said, you know what? Me, the teacher and the preacher, I put my Bible aside, you know? And I just sat there. I said, Lord, I want to know Your love. And I started crying. I was just like, I realized I don't really, and I had an encounter.
Yeah.
And can I tell you, it wasn't instant. And it may not be. There may be some times you feel like, well, I dwelt today. I didn't sense or feel anything. But can I tell you, He loves you so much, He's going to let you feel things. You're going to sense things. You're going to know that peace that you can't explain, right? That's what that means. That peace that's unexplainable. I don't know why I got so much peace. I just do. I know my life's a wreck, but I'm at peace, you know? And the same thing about His love. When you start to know it, and I just encourage you. It's not that you've never known it. It's just that let's all be honest. At the length of time we've all known the Lord, we ought to be oozing and overflowing with all of those things. Right? With glory and power. Amen?
Amen.
With healing virtue. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, people say, I don't know about the preacher down there. All I know is you get out of that church, you get healed. How about that?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time I take a friend there, they want to get saved. They interrupt the sermon and say, by the way, can I get saved? I mean, we could use some of that. But there's just something that has to come from us that's of the Holy Spirit that's totally off the charts from anything we've ever known.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? Because
yeah.
The early church, if we remember, last thing, I promise. I intend to promise this. They had the Pentecostal experience on Acts 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just two chapters later, they're crying out to God because of all the persecution. They said, Lord, give us more boldness and confidence to speak Your word while You extend Your hand to heal. And the whole building shook so dramatically.
Yeah.
That dwelling place of their new renewed commitment. They were filled afresh and anew all over again. I know theologically it messes people up. Well, what are you saying? The Holy Spirit left me? No, He didn't leave you, but He didn't have you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, guys. There's days He doesn't have me, even though He's with me. Are y'all with me? That's how we can grieve Him and quench Him, because He doesn't leave. But let's just be wide open to God. Do y'all receive this today? I hope I wasn't all over the board too much. But let's just lift our hands right now. I just pray the Lord to give you a grace this morning, that the grace of God would be on you. I pray the grace of God would be on you to give you a Mary heart. Amen? M-A-R-Y. And a M-E-R-R-Y heart.
Yeah.
That He would grant you a Mary heart, a heart of worship. That woman that always chose, you may be up to having dinner, but I've got to worship Him.
Yes.
Jesus. I may be greatly disappointed because things didn't go like I thought with my brother, but I'm going to worship Him.
Amen.
I'm going to worship Him because I'm nothing if I don't come in His presence.
Amen.
And dwell with Him.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, change our hearts. Help us to make the choices, Lord, to not wait to feel an emotion, to not wait to feel something even supernatural, to make the choice so that we can know Your glory, so that we can receive Your power, so that we can have Your love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in a dynamic way. Would you say this with me? Holy Spirit, forgive me for offending You, grieving You, quenching You. I open my heart anew today for a fresh baptism with the Holy Spirit. Fill me, saturate me, overflow me. Show me the glory of God. Disclose Jesus to me and let me know His love that surpasses knowledge. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to You today, and I bless You, my Lord. Oh, King of glory, come on, just worship Him and bless Him right now. Hallelujah. We worship You and we bless You, King of glory. Hallelujah. Makata. Oh, well, I bless You, Father. Glory to You, Lord. Glory to You, Lord. And Lord, I just release a grace over each one. A grace to focus.
Yes.
A grace to choose. A grace to prioritize our intimacy with You above everything else. May it change the way we fellowship with one another. May it change the way we worship together. May it change radically our prayer closet.
Yes, Jesus.
Anybody want that? A radical renovation of our prayer closet.
Yes, Lord.
In our church services, in our gatherings. We welcome you, Lord. We say, come have your way.
Amen.
Turn over the tables that need to be turned over. Hallelujah. 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 We're not going to wait a long time, but would you just be still before Him for just a moment? Lord, release your love right now. Release your love and your glory. Release your love and your glory over every heart. More, more of your goodness. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Would you just say more? More. More, Lord. More of you. I don't want you to repeat after me. I want you just to express your desire right now. Go ahead. Whatever it is, the more you want right now, would you just express it right now with your lips? More of your love, more of your power, more of your glory, Lord. Like never before, Jesus, I pray. Take us to a new level. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes when I've just been waiting before Him, I'll just sing a chorus or a song, and then I'll just go back into quietness and wait. I encourage you to be able to do that right now, that you'll have that undivided attention to give to Him. Even in a corporate meeting, we can have it, beloved. Hallelujah. Sometimes just to tell Him you love Him gets their heart back on point. That's what Mary did. She fell at His feet. In all of her disappointment and all of her confusion, she fell at His feet. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what You hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ears. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord, I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord. Pray this with me. I would have despaired. Unless I had believed. That I will see the goodness of the Lord
and
the land of the living.
The land of the living.
Wait on the Lord.
Wait
expectantly
upon Him.
He will come.
He will come.
Hallelujah. The Lord bless each and every one of you and keep you today. May His grace be mighty upon you. May the shining of His